Mishkan.
Okay, good to luck, everybody. We come to the second to last year of the series. I'll talk more about the plan for next week. I'll send at the end. As noted, the shiur tonight will be a little different style. First of all, I'm not pausing up sheet. Pouring everything this was to the Sheyasa. But I want to discuss an interesting, I think, an interesting topic, really based on an essay, Shir from Rav Salamation, from Rav Salamation, you just printed, people saw it, Megillas Esther Mesoras Harav, just came out for the time for this Purim. Very interesting essay in the back I'd like to base this Shir on. But first, we'll start with the process in this morning's laning. Toward the end of Parshas Kisisa, actually reviews several different mitzvahs, which actually appear today in the end of Parshas Mishpatim. An interesting parallel. The end of Yisrael, the end of Kisisa, the end of Mishpatim are very similar in terms of the deen that it presented. As some point out already, because the intervening Chet HaEgel may have led people to conclude that maybe there was something, that the covenant was shattered, and so on and so forth, and so kind of overpeats the deen as if they said that not all the, everything remains the same in terms of the obligations. In fact, Rabbi Lichtenstein of Halacha once suggested that's part of a longer point, but that's why Vayakov Kikude, the next said, you repeat everything with all the details. They already said it in Shulman Ketzaveh. Why don't you just say that they did everything as commanded? Said, no, because after the Chet Egel, it was necessary to show the exact same excitement, the exact same enthusiasm, but the Egel didn't have that destructive impact. But in any event, among the psukim, among the things we read here in the end of Parshas Kisisa, in terms of Dinim, not a narrative section, is a reference to the Shalosh Regalim. Okay, the Torah says, the Perek Lamed Dalet, Tempos Yuches, Chag HaMatzos Tishmor, Shivas Yom Tov HaMatzos, and so on. And then it says, V'chag Pasuk HaBez, V'chag Shavuos Taseh L'cho, and then it says, V'chag Asif, Sukkot Tzkufas HaShana, Sholosh Pamin B'Hashana, Yireh Kol Zechuvah Espin Adon Shmolo K'Yisrael. The three times you have to go, V'Mitzah Lila Regal. And it says, Ki Oresh in Pasuk HaDal, Ki Oresh Goyim Panecho, I will drive, when I drive out your enemies and so on, nobody will take your land. Don't worry if you have to go to the Regal, that someone's going to meanwhile seize your land while you're busy in Yerushalayim for the week. If your land will be lost, I'll stay secret, it doesn't happen. And then a din with regards to Korban Pesach, Lo Sishcha L'chomet Dam Zimchi V'lo Yimli L'vo K'zevach Chag HaPosach. And then it says, in Pesach Chavav, our Pesach, I like to begin with Perek Lamed Dal, Pesach Chavav, the mitzvah Bikurim, Reishis Bikur Ad Masa, Tavi Be'ich Hashem Elokecha. Pesach says, you have to have a mitzvah, there's a mitzvah called Havaz Bikurim, the first fruit you have to bring to the Beit HaMikdash. And it also says, also Vashel Gdi B'chalei B'mol, also the following, not for now. L'chora, we'll leave out the end of the Pasuk for tonight, but L'chora, what, all the other Pesukim, the previous several Pesukim, all have to do with things relating to Shabbos, with regard to Yontif, the Shalosh Regalim. What is Reishis Bikur Ad Mosa, the Mitzvah of Bikurim? So that's sort of the question number one. That we'll begin with. Bikurim is more familiar to us from Parshas Kisavo, where further details are presented over there. But when you brought the Bikurim to Yerushalayim and the Mikra Bikurim, you had to make a certain declaration. That's an interesting question among the Monei HaMitzvahs, whether it's all one mitzvah, okay, or it's two different mitzvahs. One mitzvah is Havas Bikurim, and one mitzvah is Mikra Bikurim, or maybe there's even a third mitzvah, Hafrashim, to set aside. And you see the first fruits develop, you have to set them aside. But anyway, they're different, but that's the mitzvah of Bikurim. It's very fascinating that there's a comment in the Medrash, in the beginning of Bereishis, that Bereishis is the Parsha Aleph, it's Siman Hey. It says that the word Reishis, the Reishis, Rashi quotes part of it. Rashi and Chumash quotes part of it. On the first post of Reishis, that the world was created Bishvil Reishis, for the sake of Reishis. What's Reishis? So Reishis is a reference to the Kal Yisrael, right? There's Reishis, Reishis. The Torah is called Reishis. I understand that. But then it's also mentioned in the Medrash, Bikurim, for the sake of Bikurim. And if you're playing with a child, which one doesn't belong? I mean, I understand. Reishis, Chai Yisrael called Reishis, Torah is called Reishis, Bikurim is a nice mitzvah, why is it up there in that category? But if you think of that, the world is created, it requires some further thought. But nevertheless, that's a reference here in the end of right towards the end of Kisri. So again, Perek Lamedala, right by Shri, Perek Lamedala, Pesach Avah, Reishis Bikurim, Moshe Tovah Beis Shalom Kecha. So what does that mitzvah Bikurim have to do with the Shalosh Regalim, and why do we see something that's so important? So that's question number one I'd like to do. Question number two, we've just completed the Baruch Hashem, the Purim festivities, and now our attention turns towards Pesach. No woman here, so not to fight anybody, but it's you know, Shloshim Yom says the end of the Kilataka, that it's supposed to begin going into matters related to the upcoming holidays 30 days before. So, Pesach, we know that, I'm not talking about the Issa Chomet, not by Yom, by Motze, but rather, you know, in terms of celebrating the miracle of Pesach, which is what the Leila state is all about. So it seems from the Gemara, Maseches Megillah, that there's a deep connection between Purim and Pesach, not stop. We can already discuss the situation, which didn't happen this year, although it will happen unless I'm next year when it's a leap year, when there are two others. The Gemara discusses, on Dogma Days in the Sefer Megillah, the Gemara discusses, when do you observe Purim in a leap year, when there are two others, right? And it's a whole discussion, I'll push it, okay? And the Gemara has logic on both sides to observe Purim in the first other, and our logic to observe it in the second other. The first logic is simply the general rule of Ein Mavir and Al Mitzvahs. I mean, you know, you always do a mitzvah at the earliest available opportunity. So if it's other Rishon, and it's you come to the 14th, so Shilachar Shilin Megillah, celebrate Purim the 14th of Adar. That's the Gemara mentions, again, towards the bottom of Vavmud Beis in Megillah, right? The Mistabra time of the Ein Mavir and Al Mitzvahs. The other opinion is, no, it says, Mismach Geula LeGeula Adif. We want to create a connection. Rashi is Geula Geula, Purim and Pesach. We want to juxtapose to the greatest extent possible Purim and Pesach. So you have to understand, I mean, okay, Geula Geula, but why is that such an important concept? The Lechor Eim Marvin Al Mitzvah is something which is in Kol HaTorah Kula. We always do a mitzvah at the earliest available opportunity. And that's what wins out Halacha. Halacha, as we know, Purim and the leap year is always observed and out of shame. Okay, not another Rishon, because Mitzvah Gula Gula Adif, yeah.
In the mitzvah, it's the time of the mitzvah.
Right, so good. So that's the one. Right, it's correct. Yes. But apparently, right, but apparently, in a, at least in a certain sense, other Rishon is the time of the mitzvah. I think Rav Soloveitchik once said that actually in a leap year, there are 4 days of Purim. The 2 days of Purim we call Purim Katan. Well, we don't say Tachan on Purim Katan. Why in the world not? It's nothing, it's nothing. And there's something to it. He says, well, there are 4 days of Purim. The mitzvahs happen to apply in the second day, not the first. But apparently it is Purim. That's the Rav, not the Rav said like that. So it's a good Ha'ara, but apparently, and at least in this Gemara. And again, but we pass in Mitzvah Gula Gula Adiv. I mean, it's a nice idea. Okay, Purim was a redemption. Pesach was a redemption. But there's got to be something more to it than that. I'd like to share with you to answer these questions. As I mentioned, Soloveitchik gave a shiur, according to the note over here, he gave a shiur in 1956. Yiddish was translated here. This sefer just came out, published by the OU, Megillas Esther Mesorah Harav. I just got a hold of it. The shiur was delivered in Yiddish, and someone heard a recording and translated it. I don't think he wrote it. Okay. And I heard bits and pieces of Tom in his name. But it's interesting, Shira, and I think it will address these questions. I just asked were not the questions he did. That's the background. I don't know something on my own also, but most of Shira is based on what he said at that time, as recorded over here. So he begins with the notion that we know that Purim is read. That's a Gemara in Daf Dalet Megillah. The Megillah is read on Purim both at night and during the day. Right? So that's a statement of Shimon Levi on Dalet Megillah. We have a series of important statements by Shimon Levi over there, which are accepted by Halacha. So he says, the mitzvah is l'kros l'ra'el l'shanos b'yom. Chayav Adam talks about him as God on our Megillah. It says, Chayav Adam, oh, I'm sorry, it's not Rishon Levi, it's somebody else. Okay, so I keep my nami, Amr Chalbo, just a moment. Oh, yeah, it was original. I'm Rishon Levi, Chayav Adam l'kros Megillah l'ra'el l'shanos b'yom. I'm going to note that it also. You have to read the Megillah at night and during the day. The truth of the matter is an interesting point. L'chora, the mitzvah of reading it during the a lot of people have a misconception. They assume that the more important Megillah reading is the night Megillah reading. Everybody flocks to Shul at night. And during the day, they say, I have time. You know, if we go to Shul, we hear the Megillah. But let's say women and other people are chayav. It's incorrect. The principal reading is the daytime reading. And actually, that's a Mishnah later in Megillah. That's a good point out. The Mishnah later in Megillah, the Chav, which discusses the daytime mitzvahs and the nighttime mitzvahs.
So you're okay. The only one?
So if you have the choice, then you should hear the daytime, or if you have to make a choice, hear the daytime over the nighttime. But what, it's interesting about Chochmah Bay is there's a mission in Megillah. It talks about Kalayom Kosher Tiyatam Megillah. You can read it at any time, it could be in the morning, it could be in the middle, any time during the day. Again, we do it in the morning, so it's to do the mitzvah, early, it's available after we do it, connect to the shepherd. But any time, sometimes, you have to go to the hospital, maybe somewhere else, yeah. So I guess that, right, it sounds like the second day, but what I'm pointing out here, this Mishnah is Mrs. Kolayom Kosher Kiyas and Gila has a list of other mitzvot that be a Hallel, when you have to be Hallel, Kiyas Shofar at any time during the day, and the field Lulav, and a whole long list. And then it says, at the end of the Mishnah, and then it says Kolayla Kosher, and night is good for Kiyas Omer and so on. And the Mishnah ends that called Dovish Mitzvot Yom Kosher Kolayom, Dovish Mitzvot Lulayla Kosher Kolayla. Anything which misses during the day can be done any time during the day. Any miss at night, really, theoretically, any time during the night. We know from the first mission of Bumpus, you try and do it by midnight so it's not to forget and so on and so forth. But this is both. So what's interesting is that the Mishnah does not mention the nighttime Megillah. The Mishnah also calls it Yom Kosher Tisa Megillah. And it also suggests, therefore, that the Mishnah actually never heard of reading the Megillah at night. It was from Shulman Levi, who was really a borderline Tana Amora, you know, right in that borderline generation. He was the one who made this favor. I'm sure the lady has to read it at night. But the Iker Kriya is during the day. That's just that. And if you look carefully, this is in the Megillah. It says, Hayamim Ha'ilim is Karmanatim. All the mitzvahs of Purma during the day. The Suda is during the day. The Shachmar is during the day. So, yeah, it's a daytime requirement. So this is not from the Rav. We're saying it's outside. But the question now, what is the status of the evening reading? And the Rav, not this, but at a different time, observed what you just said. That's a different rush. He had a very rush on Megillah. The Rav said Elijah Megillah is Yud, I think it's Yud Aleph. Adar was the Yartzel of the Rebbe and his wife. So every year he gave a big shear right before Purim, the Yartzel. In English, right. That was the difference. The one, the Yartzel, the drush of his father was in Yiddish, and this was in English. I said some of that at the end. Yud Aleph was always around, obviously, I was around Purim time. So he said a lot of stuff on Purim. And also, this is before my time, Rosh Hashanah once said that he would, on the day of the Yartzeit to his father, he would learn Mishnah, the father, by the name Moshe, you know, by the, you know, learn Mishnah is by the initial, so the Mem, so the father was Moshe. So he would learn all day. So Rosh Hashanah told us he started Mem, Megillah Mikras. Never got up to the Shin. The whole day. You know. He never finished. You know, so that was why, I think Rosh Hashanah told us that was why one year, he decided to learn the first mission. Pirkei Avos starts. Moshe, people told me that they got Moshe. But anyway, that's another time we just think it's correct. But I think this time that I heard about, I just also heard from him myself. He said that the idea is the lashon is unusual. What do you mean, mitzvah lekrosa bayom v'lashanos and lekrosa b'ayla v'lashanos bayom? So he said lashanos. I'm not second. Repeat lashanos. Was a mission of learning. He said the nighttime reading is to sort of refresh your memory of the story. So the daytime where you can listen with a critical ear and delve into it more and understand it. Well, you know, you need a reminder. We all know the story now, but the nighttime reading, you hear the laning, okay, the daytime reading is Lashanosa. It's more like learning, you know, during the course of the day. Okay, anyway, but we read it twice. In the discussion that we've shown him, what about the brachas? So the Tosas, of Dino Rashid Chayat here on the page discusses the brach of Shechiyano. We say Al-Mikra Megillah, we say Shas Hanichim. So Lachora, if you said Shechiyano at night, which we do, so you shouldn't say Shechiyano again during the day, so the rewrite, and that's the Bezun Rambam, Hilchos Megillah Perek Aleph HaGimel. There's no Shechiyano during the day. Right? There's some who don't, there's no Shechiyano, which makes good sense, because you just did the mitzvah the night before, right? So you don't usually say Shechiyano on the mitzvah, haven't done it a long while. The Tosus Paskin, here, you know, I have a thousand out of the killer. Tosus Paskin, Omer read the Apple Galmar, Apple, I'm a host, we're a host of the young. The Iker, Pesumenis of the Kriya the Imamah. Okay, he says, and he goes, Subsukim and Tosus, the Gemara analyzes. But the Tosus, the opinion of Tosus, Shechano, is decided during the daytime reading as well.
It's only, really, is it one long mitzvah?
No, something. So that's a further question, and it's not, again, I wanted to answer because you're asking it. So there are different Achronim discussed, the Turi Evan and Megillah, this is all, it's not from the Rav, I'm just telling them to answer your question. The Turi Evan and Megillah wants to argue that the mitzvah during the day was what we call a mitzvah during Kabbalah from the Navi. It's a specific case, not a mitzvah, it's a Kodesh, the Megillah's last day. Hashem came and mitzvah might is the Rabbana. There's a difference in the Rabbana, and it's kind of in between the Rabbana and the Raisas, which is called Divrei Kabbalah. Okay, we're discussing this with you sometimes, you don't know before. Okay, that the daytime reading was what says in the Megillah, Kisar Kodesh, in Tanakh. Right? So therefore, that Megillah reading during the day is Tzuri Evan, Shachazariah, on the second Megillah. So that reading is a mitzvah Divrei Kabbalah. Right? It's in Tanakh. The nighttime reading, which is said in Shulam Levi, that's in the Rabbana. So therefore, you can understand, they could say that, okay, last night I did the mitzvah Rabbana, but I still didn't, this is a new mitzvah in effect. And others, I think that Raga Chavez says that it may relate to this question.
Definitely say the bracha.
Right, say the bracha twice in the Shafiyana. Others say it's like you count it as two different mitzvahs. The Raga Chavez compares, if I remember correctly, to Kriya Shema. It says a mitzvah Kriya Shema at night, a mitzvah Kriya Shema in the morning. Is that two different mitzvahs? Or is there one mitzvah to say Kriya Shema in the morning and night? One mitzvah, two parts. It depends how you look at it. Right? Let's say Arba Minim on Sukkot. Is there one mitzvah to take a little bit, a different mitzvah to take an Ezra, a third mitzvah to take Adasa, a little bit take Arba Minim? One mitzvah to take Arba Minim. So the same question can put someone to handle it with Kriya Shema. So Kriya Shema is the exact same text, right? The night during the morning is the exact same text of Kriya Shema. There could be some hold is two separate mitzvahs. So if it's two separate mitzvahs, you understand why it's two separate prophets. You know, it happens to be the text of the thing, but it's two separate mitzvahs. Anyway, that's a shmooze maybe for another time. But Lemaisa, the Rei says that the main reading is the daytime reading, and therefore we repeat the Shechiyah. The question is, the Rav analyzed a little bit what might be the source. Yeah, it's a separate mitzvah, but again, you know, if we hold like this Toriyanim, so that's a possible answer. But again, Lechora, the practice of the Rambam, the Sardim, and the Ekkel, is right. Essentially, it's the same exact thing. Okay, you want to say outside another brichas on mitzvah, okay, but to say shechiyano again, we don't say shechiyano second night of Hanukkah. It's a new mitzvah, it's a lot of Hanukkah candles tonight, but I said shechiyano last night, so I'm done already. We, Yontif Sheni, we say shechiyano again, because Yontif Sheni, you know, shall go, let's repeat, the replication of Yontif Rishon. So we say, but other than that, we don't say shechiyano, let's say, when we replicate the mitzvah, let's say Kishofer, so we'll say Shechana Sekhar Roshana also. That's just because we're replicating. Okay, a little bit of an interesting reason why we don't do it the second day Shechana. But anyway, but Lemaisa, we have to understand the Rebbe's position. So the Rebbe suggested perhaps what the Rebbe's driving at is the following. There's a Gemara on Megillah, that's Yud Daron Aleph. The Gemara is discussing there the days of the year when we're to recite Hallel. And the Gemara obviously notes that you don't recite Hallel on Purim. Okay, we didn't say Hallel yesterday, Thursday. Okay, so the Gemara has three different reasons why we don't say Hallel on Purim. Okay, so the Gemara says, first of all, my Jewish club was reading. He says, well, first of all, there is a, the fact is that the miracle took place in Chutzlars. The Purim miracle did not happen there. It happened in Chutzlars. We only say Hallel on miracle. The shrine was also in Chutzlars. Yeah, but they haven't gotten there to Israel yet, right? So, but once they come to Israel, so that's the answer. So we don't say the Shira of we don't say how on Purim because of Neis the Chutzlar.
Doesn't a miracle have to be?
Okay, well, hold the thought. But again, but the Gemara said wasn't Eretz Yisrael, so they don't say how. I'm skipping the second. I have to go back to the second. Rav Amar that. The fact is, by Yitzis, the shrine was Hallel of Hashem, below Avde Par. We were completely free. Now, Lahacha by Purim was still Akate Avde Achashverosh. We're still in Golos. It wasn't complete. It was a great Yeshua Purim, but it was incomplete because we're still under the domain of foreign occupiers and so on and so forth. And Rava's answer is, Rava says, I'm not saying that was Rava's answer, of Nachman Omar, the second of the three, I told you one and three, Kriyasa Zuhalele, that the reading of the Megillah itself is a form of Hallel. You don't have to repeat Hallel. The reading of the Megillah is, in effect, Hallel. Okay? In other words, according to this, when we read the Megillah, we actually have a time to a mitzvah. The mitzvah of Megillah and the mitzvah of Hallel. And he says that, generally speaking, Hallel, with the one exception of Lel Pesach, for different reasons, okay, we say that the Seder, we say Hallel, many shuls, including our shuls, say Hallel, Pesach, I don't know if they don't, most Ashkenazim don't. They go and go and tell me them do, and the Seder, that's one of the things with it. The Vilna Gaon, Chamidim, and the Chassidim, and the Sardim all do, but the Ashkenazim, as a general, do not. Of course, for sure they don't. Okay, it's a Hallel. The liturgy, the regular liturgy don't. But anyway, but other than Pesach night, Lemaisa, we never say Hallel at night. Hallel is always a daytime mitzvah. We don't say Hallel on Sukkot or any other. Hallel is only daytime. No, well, either could be Mizrach Shemesh Adavol, Or is it Hayomos Rosh Hashanah? Rosh is explaining, okay, why we don't say Halakhah, they're leaving out Pesach. So therefore, what the Rav suggested is that maybe the Shechianu of the evening is only the Mitzvah Mikra Megillah. But during the day, you say Shechianu because of the inclusion of Hallow. The obvious question to that is...
Yeah,
okay. But he asked a different question. He said, we never say Shechianu Hallow. we don't say Shechianu Hallow the other time. So you're telling me now the reason we say Shechianu during the daytime is because the daytime Megillah is because it includes Hallow? We don't say that. So here's where the Yisod was, that this is a very unique Hallel. And he says, this Hallel is the only time that you fulfill Hallel without saying the specific text that we refer to in the Gemara as Hallel HaMitzri. It's the unique Hallel. And the Rav Yisod is as follows. He says, whether it's Rosh Chodesh, we say the Chati Hallel, Chanukah, Yontif, whenever we say Hallel, we say these Prokim from Tehillim. It starts with Haluka Havda Hashem, that concludes at the end, after Hashem Hashem, Hod Hashem Kito Kiro Chasto. I don't go to now the Chati Hal issue and so on. But on Purim, we basically read the story of Purim. That itself is Hallel. Now, we don't say that by Pesach, okay? Because in addition to Magid, we tell over the story, we also do say Hallel at the end of the Seder, right? That's one of the 14 parts of the Seder. Hallel, we split the Hallel, different discussion. But Lemaisa, how come at the Seder, we don't, if you're telling me that just the telling of the story itself is showing praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, good, that's Purim, so that's it. But then we should say the same thing, Pesach Light, why isn't the story telling the story? So here, the Rav referred to Gemara, that's when he down with the same Orish word, Shabbos, Kuf Yud Ches on Beis. The Gemara says, if Yosti made a statement, Yehi Chelki, I hope that my Chelik in the future will be among those who say Hallel every day. So the Gemara asks right away, and says, what do you mean? I thought you said, you say Hallel every day, you're like Megadish, right? It's blasphemous. It's a Hallel every day. So he said, no, Rabbi Yossi was referring to, not to what we call Hallel, but the Psukim de Zimra. The same Psukim de Zimra is also Shabbat from Tillim. Different chapters than we say what we call Hallel, but it's the Psukim de Zimra. Right. Of the Halukas talking. Yeah. Yeah, minimally, the third and simple Halukas. That's why there's a whole city. But if you're late, it's good. Anyway, it's a good question exactly which part.
But you've been saying it anyway.
I guess in his time too, people came late to shul and ended up skipping. So he's saying, I hope my chelik is to those who are gomer who say the whole proper sukkah, they'll come on top of the shul.
That's fair at all.
Okay, I don't know, but it's part of our job. Now, that's a question. Now, the Hallel that we say on Hanukkah, on Yontif, and so on is referred to in the Gemara as Hallel HaMitzri. It takes on the Mitzrayim, right? That's the central thought. That's called Hallel HaMitzri. And the way the Rav described it, that the theme of this Hallel is the miraculous, right? It's all these Nisim, right? Hayom Rav Ayanos, and the Harim Rokta, the mountains were jumping, and rivers are flowing backwards, and, you know, Ha'ochi Atzura Agamayim, a rock turns into a lake, you know, with all the water for the people and so on. These are examples of a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in effect, the Rav said, suspends the laws of nature. In other words, he acts contrary to the laws of nature, which, of course, the Torah says is a general rule. After the Mabul, it says, in the end of Noah, after the Mabul, it's Precious Parakhet, Pasuk Chof Beis. Because the Baruch in effect says, Oh, Kolim Ha'aret, Zera, V'kotzir, V'kor, V'chom, V'kayet, Z'chor, V'yomam, V'yom, V'layla, Lo Yishbosu. There's going to be a natural order, and as a general rule, it's never going to be suspended. But once in a while, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to suspend those natural structure. And Hallel HaMitzri was, you know, to basically thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for stepping in and, in effect, countering the laws of physics and you know, the way the Rebbe described it here, it's written that the rule of physics of action, reaction, cause and effect was suspended. And that's what we speak about. He says, if you look at Psukei de Zimra carefully, Psukei de Zimra, that we say every day, is not focusing on praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the supernatural, for the natural. Exactly right. It's exactly the opposite. Psukei de Zimra praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, that he created the, look at how, right, all those things, all the natural things I mentioned there in the Halukas, and that is, according to what Rav is suggesting here, to start with Ashrei. In other words, Halukas are praise and Kadosh Baruch Hu with a natural order. And the truth of the matter is, even on Shabbos, it's expanded, but it's also the same thing. Although there is the long Hallel, it speaks about that, but even it speaks about Kilav Chasel, it speaks about some of them. Right, but again, you know, it's also Hashemayim, the Sapphim, Klokel, the Gamma Aris. That's the natural order. You know, that's the very heavens proclaim. But on a different occasion, so the Hashemayim is happening. That's sure. Okay, Hashemayim is happening. Hotel, the very heavens proclaim the greatness of the Baruch Hu. So we don't hear it. You know, the way the Rav described it, you see the hand of Hashem. You look carefully the way he described it, his poetic language. Just written up somewhere in there. Maybe in Halach. No, I forgot. The rustling of the wind and the babbling of the brook. You know, there's so much noise that we don't notice it. But right. So that's what he said. So that's a different. The greatest miracle is the sun rising. We consider it nature, but that's the godless. So therefore, what the Rav suggested is that if you say that what the B'yosi meant, and that Gemara Shabbos, Kutu Chesem Beis, okay, is that if you say the Halo HaMitzri every day, the reason that's considered Megadev, considered blasphemy, is because it makes it sound like the only way you're going to appreciate the greatness of Kadosh Baruch Hu is when there's some supernatural, dramatic change of nature and so on and so forth. Okay, the recitation of Halal Mitzri daily would suggest, in the words here, that our praise of HaKadosh Baruch was predicated exclusively on his performance of such wonders. And that really is not right. Okay, the truth of the matter is, the way the Rav described it, the Rav opened that HaKadosh Baruch only did those things when, quote unquote, had no choice. It was this shat of chak. He couldn't accomplish what he wanted. Couldn't, again, I'm saying it, you know, lightly, you know, he couldn't have. You know, done anything else? Had he left nature to its course in Mitzrayim, so Kaliso would have perished completely. So there was quote unquote no choice. He had to do something dramatic at that moment, or otherwise the people would have disappeared. Okay, but love quotes him. No, that's just the point. That really, nature is the hand of Kaddish Baruch Hu too. But a dramatic But in dramatic or emergency circumstances, Kadosh Baruch Hu has no choice, quote unquote, but to intervene and stop nature, stop his preferred method of running the world, and do it in a supernatural way. That's his preference. His preference that we should run the course of nature, should run properly, and we should appreciate. As a matter of fact, I'm just interrupting myself because he didn't bring this riot, but you know, you look in Parshas B'Shalach, it says that after the waters split, right? So that says, Moses says, Vayashav Hayom La'esano. No, that pasuk by Yosher Le'Esano. Okay, that's the drasha. Yosher Le'Esano, but it's saying it was Esan in strength, right? Esan in strength. So Esano. So the waters went back to their strength. What do you mean? The strength when it was split, standing up? No, the real strength was back to normal. The waters went back to normal. That's the real. We don't see it that way. That's the point. So the Rav suggested is that he only, you know, intervenes with nature, so to speak, or with his preferred method of running the world, when there seems no choice. He quotes, the Rav quotes a Medrash and Shmos Rabbah, the Parsha Tezvav. He says, like a Kohen, you know, who's somehow he has Tshuma and it blows out of his hand, lands in the Beis HaKoros. I think I didn't get his Tshuma. So he said, I can't just leave the Tshuma there. It's Kodesh, and I can't make myself Tomei. So he says, bet I should make myself Tomei once, and then go to the mikvah and purify myself, so I have my tshuma. So he says, such is the case. Okay? Because Baruch Hu said, I have to redeem them, but I can't, I go down and be tame myself, so to speak, by suspending the laws of nature, compared to the calling going to the Beis HaKoros. He said, I have no choice. I have to go bring them into Mitzrayim. I'll get to it in a second. Okay, so now, the truth is, the way the Rav described it here is that Kedusha, okay, Bez Hashem, next week I'll talk about the Rav's perception of Kedusha, the last year of the series. But here, the Rav said that Kedusha, we know the root of Kedusha is Kuf Dalet Shem, means separate, distinct, right? It's not part of the ordinary, not the usual. That's the word. That's what the word, you know, kadosh by itself means. Without, you know, how do you define holiness? It means separate, distinct, not, you know, out of the ordinary. Out of the kadosh, the whole. You know, we just said havdalah. So it separates from the ordinary to the sanctified. Extraordinary, hekdesh and mikdash, kodesh, kadosh. All these words, the same thing. So when they kiddush Friday night, technically, all the same thing. So he said, the Rav said here, when a kadosh baruch hu intervenes supernaturally, his holiness is diminished. Why? Because his separateness is diminished. He comes, you know, that he said. He basically the Yetzias Mitzrayim. He said the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Gula from Yetzias Mitzrayim, was a descent. Okay, I'm going to read now. This was a nice translation. God directs a complex cosmic drama. The light that speeds through the universe, the flying nebulae, all act in accordance with his decree. The organic and the biological world is a greater manifestation of his will than all the plagues visited upon Egypt. Okay, is there anything extraordinary in God being able to overrun Egypt with frogs? His ability to drown the Egyptian army is trivial compared to his manifestation through nature. So that's what I said. Therefore, Bielski said, I want to be among those who say Pesuk D'Zimmer every day. What is Pesuk D'Zimmer? I'm appreciating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is not for the world, this magnificent manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. Okay, the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through nature. Not that nature is separate, that he reveals himself through nature. I'd rather have that. Now, he said, the Rav says that when, of course, at Yom Suf, so the people declared Zekhelim HaVehu, and they perceived HaKadosh Baruch Hu at a very high level. The Medrash says that even the simplest person had a greater level of vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu than even the great Nevi'im, even the Ches Malavi, and so on. Okay, but he said, had we been on a higher spiritual level, we would have been able to take it out of its shrine without these overt miracles and so on. But time was of the essence, like you said, they had sunk to the lowest level of Tumah. They couldn't wait for him. That's Pesach. Purim is different, because Purim, there is no open, supernatural, revealed, obvious miracle when it comes to Purim. Okay? It's a natural. There's nothing, no one thing you can look in the Megillah and say, oh, this was a supernatural event. Okay?
Isn't it somewhere in between?
Well, let's see.
So, but it's like
that.
Like, Shem is always
there. He's there, but that's the thing. It's harder to see it. You see, he says Purim is a big revelation. Right. He says there's no one thing in the Megillah. There's no one thing in the Megillah that that can point. Oh, this was a miracle. Now, the truth is, if you look at the entire Megillah, you get to ask a lot of things. You know. But there's no one event. So it's interesting. The Gemara in Megillah Tasnava Beis says, and this is the Mizmor for Purim Tilim Parakov Beis on Matzeach Alayalas Hashachar. Okay, that's where Esther said Keli Keli Lamas Atan. That phrase Keli Keli Lamas Atan. The question dropped it, but according to Chazal, this Gemara in Megillah Tasnava Beis is uttered by Esther when she came into the inner chambers there, not knowing whether Achashverosh is going to extend the scepter.
Where's
the Avilah? What's that? So the Rav said, what the Rav said is follows. Okay. Obviously, she knew, like it says in Megillah Esther, the paragraph plus to get out of it says, you know, Achas Tosol Hami. It goes inside. So Achas Tosol Hami. Okay. It can be, and she understood that would happen. Again. The one. Right. It's not one of his. It's a very important point. It's not one of his. One of his protocols is to go. The one thing. That's right. Right. Okay. Yeah. That's how they translate here. There is one law for any man or woman who comes in. It's not. Sometimes you get achas tosol. One of the things he might do, but it's not what it means. It means this is the one. Yeah. 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 This is the one thing. So he says, of course, as soon as Chazal, he quotes a Medrash, that originally Achashverosh did not put his sharpit, his scepter out, okay? And his first inclination was not to attack. She gave her for coming in unannounced, uninvited, and so on. Now, according to what the Rav said, but here's what he said. When he sticks, either he calls you in, I don't know what the protocol is. That's not how the magistrate. Magistrate, don't put out the service. Huh? No, I don't think she can walk home. I mean, if you show up and he sees you uninvited, then he kills you. That's right.
Where's the boundary wall?
I guess downstairs. I'm not sure, but that just shows at the table. No, it shows at the table. No, because I guess he put that the shabbat. Let the guards know. Right. So, and anyway, in fact, that was one more. But anyway, the Chazal say at first. Now, what the Rav suggested is that, and her hesitancy and so on, and was that Esther hoped that there would be some sort of an immediate miraculous thing that right away he would say, come in, and so on. But he hesitated. And that's when Esther said, uh-oh, Kayla, what's up, honey? You're going to let me out now? You're going to abandon me now? You know, like she thought it was all over at that point. That's when she said, okay, then, afterwards, the king sort of changed his mind. Ahasuerus changed his mind, and he stuck out the scepter. Okay, but she was expecting, when the Rav developed it, an immediate, miraculous thing. Oh, sure, come in, no problem. You know, and when that didn't happen, she got, understandably, extremely nervous. And that's when she got into Kayla was a tunny. So according to what the Rav is saying, at that point she realized that this was going to be a different kind of Yeshua. That this was not going to be some miraculous, you know, the king was going to hesitate, wait in the floor, should I kill her, should I not kill her? Last time I killed the wife, I wasn't so happy in the end. So finally sticks out that, you know, admittance is going to come through natural means. And that's why the Rav said, unbelievable. Remember we just said that Kedusha is manifested, is lessened when it has to be supernaturally. The very next psukim over there, Lamanatzech HaLayel Shachar, after Kele Kelem Zotani, is V'yata Koro Sho Shei Yisrael. Oh, which the Rav said, we have a minute, an unusual minute. Okay, after Megillah, now, sometimes Purim is Motzei Shabbos, Sunday, as your brother mentioned, it's 34% of the time. Okay, so that's the most common configuration of the Purim's on a Sunday, but okay. We say V'yata Koro Shei Motzei Shabbos, that it's a night also. But after Mikra Megillah, it was Wednesday night this year, after Mikra Megillah, we said about the Kadosh. What the guy, why? Where's that popping? You know, so, you know, why, after Mikra Megillah, we said Kadosh, Shoshana, Yaakov, and I later finished. Where's about the Kadosh come in? So he said, because of this is, the Rav suggests, it's because it's in this Mizmor, which is the Mizmor of, first of all, Stam, Lamatzer, Aliyah, Shachar, I'll get back to that, Aliyah, Shachar is referring to Esther, the Ayelos HaShachar is like we call the morning star, right? Right. It's the first glimpse of dawn, first glimpse of a new day, so to speak. We'll get back to that in a second. We'll develop it. But he said that's after Kadosh. Okay, if holiness suggests separateness, so Kadosh Baruch Hu redeems us through natural means, he's more Kadosh. So that's what Esther realized. It's not going to be a supernatural thing. Ahasuerus didn't, by the way, greet her and say, come on in. He hesitated, and suddenly he went through means. It's going to be more through natural means. Okay, and therefore, that's why she said without the Kadosh. Okay, now, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu operates, so to speak, from afar, with normal, natural means, let nature take its course, that's when its Kedusha is most manifested, and that's the Kedusha, that's the Hallel of Sukkot HaZimra, as opposed to the Hallel HaMitzvah. So I'm reading out from the Rav again. It said, in the Purim drama, Kadosh Baruch Hu directed a sequence of events that, when considered separately, do not appear extraordinary. He set in motion a series of seemingly mundane and plausible incidents, so salvation had the appearance of emerging naturally. Now, the Gemara in Yuma Daf Chav Tes Amei says, "Ayelos HaShachar, the morning star, is the first." So, it's before Ayelos HaShachar. Okay, and certainly what we spoke about Ayelos HaShachar a few weeks ago. It's before Hanait. It's the first. Again, they call it the morning star. That's the Ayelos HaShachar. And the Rav said, you know, it's very, very subtle. You can't really see it. Okay. At that moment, the brightening of the arrival of day is very, very difficult to perceive. In fact, even halacha, not so clear what exact moment that was. Before, you can't see. So he said, I don't remember. I think there's one thing I forgot. I know what it's for. But Ayelos HaShachar is before Ayelos HaShachar. So you can't even see the arrival of day. So the Rav said that's the same thing with Purim. You couldn't really see the arrival of a great miracle, because everything still looked bleak and black and dark, and, you know, and all you saw was Haman, you know, drinking with Ahasuerus and passing decrees to wipe out all the Jews, and therefore you might have concluded that Kadosh Baruch Hu was abandoned. Esther Pana is not there. Okay, so therefore, once we realized that in fact no, there was Ayelos HaShachar, Kadosh Baruch Hu behind the scenes was from a distance orchestrating things through nature and so on and so forth. That's what we say V'yata Kadosh. Okay, and that's what the Rav said. A different, he said also over here that we say Kadosh, Hashem Tzvakos. What is Tzvakos? What does it mean? In the term, the Lord of Hosts. What is host? So I've said that he's the master of a host of seemingly unrelated and unconnected events and so on, right? And here on earth, the host of everything, the host of conglomeration, but a host of different things. No, you're right. So according to this, you would be able to pass.
So why did they have a different form?
One second. Right. Good. Okay, we'll get to the second. Okay, so he says, it was basically after we view these events before, we'll get to the second. Why the events? Because when we look at things in context, we see, you know, so many different things in Purim. We see the entire Megillah. So many things had to fall in place exactly that Mordechai happened to be there when these two guys were plotting to kill the king, and he understood their language, and he told them, and they didn't reward him, and then later on, there's so many different things. Any one thing, you don't see anything there, but you look at the whole picture, that's you see the guiding hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the idea. The Rav said the three Kedushas, right? This Kaddish B'Shmei Meroma Yilav Be'Shitei. That's a Kaddish Baruch Hu in the highest heavens, right? He controls everything. Then we see a little bit Kaddish Al Ara of Adpurte. And then we see Kaddish Al Olam Olam Amayah. Can we give a stronger affirmation of Kaddish Baruch Hu really orchestrating everything? Olam Amayah. That's what he suggested as we flow, in Vyata Kaddosh, which again, we don't say Vyata Kaddosh after the Seder, right? So we don't say Vyata Kaddosh Pesach night, okay? Because it's different time. To completely different thing. We don't need that. It's a different thing. So when it comes, right. Okay, now
you
said. Okay. She said the truth of the matter is that Balayla who's not a shasamela, right? They couldn't fall asleep. So again, meaning it's symbolically that melech, right? People, I do a late hamelech, you know, hamelech, so to speak. The idea, the way the Rav described it, was that the night then did not quickly give way to morning. It was not that Ashas HaMelech, it was a long night. It was a slow walk. He couldn't sleep, and then they had to call in some people to read for him, and then Haman showed up. It was a dragged out night, so the darkness, so to speak, was dragging out. Eventually it ended up by, you know, that Haman, they hung him on the same tree that he had prepared for Mordechai. So the Rav then added also that we find that the Gemara on Gilgal, the test of Aleph, says that the Megillah Nikrei Sefer Nikrei Tigeres. Okay, the Megillah is called a Sefer, but it's also called a Nigeres. What's the difference in a Sefer and a Nigeres? Okay, so right, we saw Svarim and so on. So a Sefer is something which is in a book. It's understood that a Sefer, and Rav said in biblical Hebrew, it's something written on cloth. Sefer means it's written on cloth. Okay, which means basically it has a connotation of permanence. And some people remember in Yirmiyahu, I think it's after Parshas Bahar, right, that he told him to write down, to purchase land and to keep a record of Sefer. Remember that? Because of Sefer Kriya. Huh? Right. His uncle left his land and thought to come to what? So Yirmiyahu said, what land? What are you talking about? The city, it's a bad investment. So you can buy land and 2 days later, 2 months later, whatever, the whole thing is going to fall to the end. What? So, no, it's after the future and so on. And it's Dafka. Sefer Klisa, he calls it, right? Like we have two different types of a star. A star is called a get. We refer to a get as a divorce bill, but it really a get means any kind of it. So there's a get, you know, it's called a get pashut, which is an ordinary. Okay, and then there's a get makusha. Get makusha means it's tied up. You sign something, then you seal it, and then you tie it in certain ways, and someone else seals it. Yeah, that's what. So he told him to have this get makusha. That's a sefer. It's enduring. It's permanent. Okay, and the Geras is not written on cloth. The Geras is put in paper, and you know, a letter. You get a letter. You read. You throw it out. They come with you. They delete it, right? After you delete it, huh? Whatever they had, but they wrote on something that was discarded. Is the point? See, what about this? Get it? Whatever. Okay, Megillah's answer is called both the Geras. I'll call the Geras the those, and it's also called the Sefer. So he says, you know, at first glance, again, the events by themselves don't seem to have enduring. This king made a party, and you know. I mean, it's not of enduring. It doesn't seem of enduring importance. Okay, it's like the newspaper you read, you throw it out. So I see what's going on. Okay, as a sefer, of course, Megillah is a sefer, so we continue to read it every single year. And in fact, it's halacha because the Gemara says in Megillah over here at the Zion Rebbe that's because it's called a sefer. You have to write it with sirtut, you know, like in a sefer Torah, those lines etched into the parchment. It's all got aliyahs. You see, in a sefer Torah, you have the letters are written, you know, in these etched in lines with sirtut. That's marked by Megillah also. Megillah also writes because you may show up. Right. Don't need it. Okay. So.
They practice it that they were with Megillah.
Right. So that's kiddush. Right. But still, it requires sirtut. So in any event, the Rav goes on to something else. I don't want to mention now. Just as in a point, he says that according to Rabbi Tam and Gittin Tzuchavon Beis, that Amitah Shol Torah, the Divrei Shalom Emes, very end of the Megillah, that Mordechai sent out Divrei Shalom Emes. So. refers to Shema Yisrael, and then he mentions Rekiva, you know, which is the greatest, acceptance of the judgment of Kodesh Baruch Hu. In any event, the Rav said that no, that's why, you know, the Gemara has a dispute of what part of the Megillah is Makkah. What do I have to hear? So there's one opinion that says, as long as you heard from Balila, who, so that's the turning point. Others say, no, you have to hear Tukmos, Haman, Lirazi. Others say, Mordechai, so that's if you hear the whole thing. The first couple of parakim, certainly the first parak, describing great detail Achashverosh's whole party and what type of tapestry they had. Who cares? I mean, why is it so important? So they said, no, no detail. If you didn't know about the fall of Vashti, you wouldn't understand everything in the whole thing. Eventually, makes a lot of sense. And the Rav then took it from there that the holiday is called Purim al Shem Hapur, right? So why is it called Purim in the plural? It's called poor. How many lots were? No, but he says because it's a reference to other plots against us in Golos as well. Okay? And refers to our role and understanding our role as well. In Mitzrayim, there was nothing we had to do. What does it say in Pash B'Shalach? His Yatzu Ruas Yeshuas Hashem. You stand back and watch and, it's in Shmos Perek Yidal Pasuk Yud Gimel. Right? But Amalek, And that had to be, we had to play a role. I didn't say, Amalek attack, the end of Bishav, same Sedra. There are Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you don't have to do anything. By Amalek, it's you have to get the ghosts and get men, go out and fight. So he says, because there, what we're dealing with, an enemy like Haman, enemy called Amalek, he said, Paro's quote unquote hatred of the Jews and his desire was because, it affected the economy. He had a lot of cheap labor. So why did he want to bring the Jews back? He didn't necessarily hate the Jews. He didn't necessarily, had no issue with the Jewish religion per se, but it's an economic loss. It's the beginning of Bishah. We had all these slaves doing our work. With Amalek, I mentioned children of Amalek also, has no, there was a hatred of the Jewish people, a hatred of the role of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and so on. Everything about Amalek was mikra, happenstance, and that's exactly Megillah's exact opposite. Megillah's exact does not happen, it's not a coincidence. In any event, this is what the Rav said in terms of the difference between the miracle of Purim and the miracle of Pesach. I just wanted to elaborate on my own a little bit to get into other things, because that more or less is his book, which is very interesting. Take a look. But I wanted to elaborate and get back to what I started with Bikurim. Okay, with Bikurim, it's in our sedur here at the end of the Shalosh, after the mention of the Shalosh Regalo. And that astonishing medrash in the beginning of Bereshis that says that Bishvil Bikurim, Nivra Olam, Bishvil Bereshis is called Bikurim, is called that our Pasuk Bereshis Bikurim. There must be something more. Must be something more to it. So it seems to me, just picking up on this point, is that what is more natural than a farmer planting and working and producing his produce, and now he has fruits. Okay, Sean, so that's the natural order of things, right? Comes the Torah and says, no, Daska. Okay, Reishis Bukur Tavi Be'ezron Kehel. When we have to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the natural order. Daska the mitzvah Bikurim. Daska the mitzvah Bikurim. That's what's on. Yes, Bishul Reishis, Reishis. Why? Because to have our course at all, to recognize the hand of our Kodesh Baruch Hu, to recognize the hand of our Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's Mitzrayim, it's not something, the Kriya Shamsim, it's pretty good, okay? But to see the hand of our Kodesh Baruch Hu in Purim, okay, to see the hand of our Kodesh Baruch Hu in the natural, it requires a different level of perception altogether. The truth is that maybe that's what the Gemara says, Mismach Gula Lagula Adiv. We mentioned the Gemara in Adapom and Beis and Megillah, why Purim, the Lipia, again, next year, that has to be an Adar Sheni, and not Adar Rishon. Because we want to show that connection. It's easy to appreciate the miracle of Pesach, but it's not as easy to require a little more effort. But in a certain sense, in a way, that's a greater miracle. Ramban writes, I forgot to bring it down, but take more, but I suggest that people should read this Ramban. Ramban says at the end of Bishalach, at the end of both, right? Last Ramban and both. He says, the purpose of these great miracles is to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand in the minor miracles. That's the whole purpose. He said, that's why we have all so many mitzvahs, zechelet b'shmitzrayim, so many. He has a list on about there. He's talking there in the end of the bow. The tefillin is, kibichos, something. Many other mitzvahs, pick out a bed. Other mitzvahs is there. Why so many times zechelet b'shmitzrayim? Why so important? So Ramban says, because when you think about those things, then you'll see HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shemitoch hanisim hagloyim. I don't know the exact language, but shemitoch hanisim hamufusamim hagloyim. You'll come to appreciate the regular miracles as well. So it seems to me that that's what Bikurim is about. Bikurim, and therefore, I just suggest that it's not an accident that the, even the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is built around Mikra Bikurim. Harami Ovadavi, right? The psukim which we darshan in the Seder are the psukim that the farmer, when he brought the Bikurim to Yerushalayim, to the Beis Hamikdash, he put it down, he would say, Harami Ovadavi. And those that davka the psukim we darshan at the Pesach Seder, as if even at the Pesach Seder, as we're celebrating the miraculous and supernatural, everything is wonderful about Pesach, but it turns our attention back to appreciate our Kodesh Baruch Hu even for the mundane. So Misma Gula Gula Adit may have this sort of hidden meaning as well, that we can appreciate, we should appreciate Purim in a certain sense, I don't say higher than Pesach, but it gives an opportunity to, you know, recognize the hand of our Kodesh Baruch Hu in the mundane. As we turn our attention to Pesach retroactively, retrospectively, you look back and you appreciate the form even more. That's the mitzvah gula gula. And I'll also add one other thing. It's also, I think, also not a coincidence. We don't realize it because, you know when you have a sedra break, so you know, next week sedra is next week sedra. But right after Parsha Zohar, what's the next thing in the Chumash after Parsha Zohar? The Kurim, the end of Parsha's Kisei. The beginning of Kisavo. The Kisavo is the beginning of the Kisavo art, Mikra Bikurim. So in the Chumash, it's one right after the other. Right after Zohar, again, the last two psukim of Parsha Zohar is the last two psukim of Kisei. The very next, again, we forget about it sometimes because, you know, it's a separate Parsha, but you know, it's obviously connected in the Torah, because that's the whole point. The goal of Amalek, so to speak, was not to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the mundane and the ordinary, right? It's mikra, asher karcha baderech, right? It's all coincidence. It's all happens. It's all random. And that's what they say in the Megillah. When Mordechai told Esther what happened, right? Safer, you know, through it. It says eis kol asher karahu, right? So the Medrash says he was telling her. Karahu was arrived on the scene. In other words, the descendant of Amalek. There's someone that says Akher Karha. It's a mikra. That's exactly that. And so our perception, of course, that nothing is random. As a matter of fact, just to complete the whole picture. All right, the way you pronounce it. The Rambam says in the beginning of the Hilchos Tainis. The Rambam says that the reason we fast on these Taneos, okay, and of course Taneos is one of them, is because we want to show that it's not mikra. We want to show that, and the Rambam says, the Rambam there quotes the psukim from the Chokhah of the Chukosah, where it says, you went actually leave the carry, stop on the other time to carry, it sounds like the sense of happenstance, random behavior, and the Rambam has a strong language there. He says someone who says everything is random, he calls that midas achzorius. He says that's exactly against what a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you know, wanted and what a Kodesh Baruch Hu represented. So the kitzur, just the mitzvah bikurim perhaps, and again, right on the heels of Purim. Purim is a holiday we celebrate because Baruch Hu's interaction in the, you know, the day to day world, which the Rav positive is a greater type of kedusha even because. You know, the supernatural, which is just a fallback plan B, so to speak, to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the natural. And again, Bikurim represents that. Bikurim represents what miracle was the guy planted? He worked the field and he got his stuff. So he's got to go back and dafka Mikra Bikurim. What is Mikra Bikurim? It's a review of Jewish history, our Amid Ovid Avi, right? Becoming a nation, Tzvius Mitzrayim. Everything comes together to show the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the ordinary, the mundane, and not only in the supernatural. Specifically when it's